and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
This little bit that happened this week, there was an argument, as sometimes happens in our car between sisters. We were in Frederick. We were going. We had just gone. I think to a craft store or something. So my demeanor was, you know, rosy and sunny because I love craft stores. And as we're pulling out, we're on the Golden Mile there, and we're passing where the Red Horse is, you know, the Red Horse restaurant, okay? And the girls are counting how many red horses they see. And Eden saw more with her eagle eyes than Bethany, who is still in the kind of five-point restraint car seat where she can't really move anything. And so Bethy counted three horses. Eden counted four or so. I counted five. But that's beside the point, because the argument was that Eden said, "Oh, Bethy, there's five horses, or four horses," and Bethy goes, "No, there is three, because I can't see four, so there are three. If I can't see it, it doesn't count," because she was certain that there were three, not so certain that there were four. And so I was driving and having read and reflected on some of these things that we're talking about today. I thought, how often is that so the case that we would rather, even though Bethy probably knows because her personality would just say, "Oh no, there are three." She has this kind of reality distortion field that happens around her, that she would rather be in a land that there are three red horses than the real reality that there are maybe more than three. Right? There is a comfort in knowing that certainty of, "I am right, and you will never be, unless, perhaps, that you choose the number three with me." You know, that's kind of some of the places that we go and some of the things that we do in this series as we talk about entering into the dark wood, as Dante referred to it as, is that there is this certainty that we have on the path that we have always trodden before, right? There is something about knowing, isn't it strange how when you're on your daily commute that you are so on that same path that you see the same people day after day, and if you don't, you know that somebody's late and something is off, right? And so as we enter into this dark wood, the initial reaction is that the dark wood is a scary place. And it is, for some reasons, but the goal and the challenge for this Lenten season then is to allow ourselves to not see this wilderness as something that is wholly scary and unwanted, but rather that has some kind of gift that we may be able to grow. So over the summer, this past summer, we did a series called Ordinary Time, where, like we talk, you know, like the series title would say, is that it is ordinary time. Like, life is going, so those commutes are going, everything is fine, this is ordinary, and the way this season is not so ordinary. But in those times where we enter into, by our own volition and our own choices, that dark wood that we start to explore because the sin in our life has come up, or things have started to pop up in our lives that lead us to exploring this dark wood. And it doesn't take long before we realize and, you know, recognize that we have gotten off of that path where we're seeing those same people on our commute every single day to something that's just a little bit off. And that 5% each day, each week, adds up to then we realize that we are no longer on that hard-packed soil of the path that we have known, but we find under our feet the crunching pine needles and leaves of the dark wood, of the uncertainty, of everything that seems so foreign because we haven't been here before. And that causes anxiety because it's uncertain, right? I mean, think about the last time that you went camping or spent any type of time, either outside, whether it be in the woods camping or maybe on a boat or something like that, and especially if you are not somebody who is usually in those places, if you are not a boater, everything seems like at the next moment your boat could capsize, right? It is terrifying. Or every single sound that you hear regardless of which direction it is coming from, is a bear ready to pounce on you, right? In the night, because camping at night seems to be that much scarier because of the unknown. And so as we look, as we journey, as we enter into the dark wood, we find this gift. And so our first gift that we talk about today is this gift of uncertainty. And uncertainty isn't something that we really like to address so much, but at the same time, there is this gift in it. So we're going to talk about three. And the first gift, I think, is that this uncertainty calls us to explore. And so what we see in our scripture that Jill read for us is that there is a time where knowledge ends. Now, for us, especially for us, a culture that is very analytical, man, a time and a place where we don't know something, I don't know that I like that. Don and I were talking last week. I know that my left side of my brain really doesn't like the fact that there might not be a place where I can analyze and calculate and quantify and get everything just so, but there is a place where where the sidewalk ends. And then what do? There's a time where all knowledge will be brought to an end. And then what happens at that place when we come to the end of the line? We're uncertain. We don't know where to go. But this uncertainty then spurs us on. It asks us to ask, seek, and knock, as Jesus talks about with our faith, so that we can then poke and prod and explore and see what this dark wood experience would have in store for us. Because at one time, those things that we take for granted, that trail that we have been walking on for generations and generations, was actually the new soil, hadn't been trodden before. And so when there is something that we don't understand or we come to the end of the sidewalk, we sometimes say, well, but what's next? This uncertainty is a gift from the dark wood because it allows us then to go back and open up the possibilities and see what we have taken for granted so long and rethink. And so that poem that Joel read for us, I love the imagery there of the way that hard-packed soil is the thing that we know is certainty. But then what happens if that certainty doesn't become so certain? Or the imagery of a mole like a plow, right, digs that up. It irrigates, or it aerates, it tills up that soil of what we have known so well. Isn't that a little frightening, though, that the foundation would start to have holes? But then what happens in the meantime is that but new life can grow from those places that we till in our hearts. And so if we talk about, or if we look at the way in which this certainty plays into effect, if you look back maybe at those times that we read in Scripture about Pharaoh letting God's people go and that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, or God hardened Pharaoh's heart, maybe this idea of certainty comes into play a little bit differently. And so maybe if Pharaoh was able to live into that uncertainty, he would have been able to see the possibilities of partnering with God's people. But instead, that path that had been forged so long ago is the one that he stuck towards. And so if we are allowing ourselves in this season, those times and places, to till up some of that soil, to aerate, to let God move in between, to let the Spirit get into those places where we go, I don't know how that works, but it's just easier for me to say, there's three horses, not four, right? God can do some powerful things if we say, well, maybe there's more than three. Maybe there's another way, right? And so we get there, and then we allow ourselves to see this second gift of the way that we see and encounter this uncertainty is that we get to see God at work. Now, in our scripture, we have this understanding of God, how God interacts with God's people. And throughout time, before this scene happened with the burning bush, we would expect that God, kind of like a pyramid, right, is that God interacts with the people at the top of the pyramid because they're most important. And then that would kind of trickle down. At least that's how it was seen before, is that the people at the top had this exclusive right to God, and then it would trickle down. And when we live in this time of uncertainty, when we live in these experiences of uncertainty, what happens is that off in the pasture somewhere, tending to our sheep, the lowliest of lowly see this bush that is burning and not consumed. Now, that's not a thing that happens, right? when things burn, like we saw on Ash Wednesday, those palms that I lit and they went up. I mean, they went up in like 3 seconds because they've been drying out all year and they were consumed. That's the way that we have our ashes to start off this Lenten season. And so when we see something that just doesn't work right, you know, Moses being in that place where he is in uncertainty, seeing this thing, and then God says to him, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. Moses is saying, it doesn't work that way because you work with the people up here and I'm down here. This gift of uncertainty allows us to see more fully the actions of God and naming them for what they are. Because when we're certain and God is moving, we write that off to certainty. But if you look from scripture passage to scripture passage, if we see the way that God interacts with God's people, God sets up the way that people interact with God so that there is no doubt that it can be anything but God, because they enter into these battles, these situations, these forces where they are pinned up against the Red Sea. And what do? They go, I don't know what is going to happen next. And it seems like that is the point where God says, good, because I've got a next for you. Let me part the sea, but don't construe it for anything else, right? This is me at work. And so we see that the gift of the dark wood then allows us to explore and enlighten and expand the way that we see it. Then we can see what God is doing and acting and moving. And author John Ortberg says this about faith and doubt. He says, we all think that we want certainty, but we don't. We really want trust. Placed wisely. Trust is better than certainty because it honors the freedom of the person and makes possible growth and intimacy that certainty alone could never produce. Isn't that kind of awesome? Right? It's that we think we want this certainty, but what we're really asking for, what we're really calling for is trust, is trusting in the way that the other will act, in the way that we know and come to see the way that God acts and moves in the world, because that's a richer relationship, because that honors the freedom of the other, whether it be God or other people. And so we are able to then see the way that more fully God is working and acting in ways that are so wonderful and complex on our behalf. And then this third point that we see as one of those gifts of the dark wood is that we see that we are better known for other people and that we know ourselves. And so if we look at that scripture that Jillian had for us today, but now I am known partly, but then I will be completely known in the same way that I have been completely made. And so what we see here is that this 1 Corinthians passage talks about the completeness of time and this wholeness that will be restoration that comes up. And then Paul talks a little bit earlier about the way in which he is putting the childish ways behind him, which is weird, right? Because Jesus says, let the children come. And so how do we reconcile that? And I think that it all has to do and tied in with this wonder that we have, is that wonder is kind of this gateway of uncertainty. Because have you ever had a time and a place where your breath has been taken away by what has been in front of you, right? It's because you were living in uncertainty and taken off guard. And so I think what Paul is talking about here is that to be known, we have to recognize that we have more than two colors in our coloring box to color with, right? And so the girls, when we watch shows or something like that, will go, well, is that person good or are they bad? And we simplify it like that, right? And when we kind of assess people and things like that, we like to put them into boxes and places and things like that. Are they good or are they bad? And then we get like shows like Game of Thrones, and then you go, well, today he's kind of 30% good and 30%, I don't know, and kind of, you know, like we have these opportunities and things that they go, oh, well, maybe 40% bad today. But we start to then have these finer understandings. We start to paint with more colors because we recognize that it's not as simple as these childish ways of saying black or white, but rather that to understand the complexity of folks, we need to start painting with a broader brush. I think that's why sometimes the folks that I talk to whose marriages don't last is that they assume that they know fully that person after a year and a half of marriage. and you realize that I think I've got them all figured out, and Don and Jennifer are laughing because they know, right, that every single day you can discover something else about your friends and family and God and everything else. And so what we need to do is put those childish ways behind us of only thinking A or B and recognizing that there is so much more to figure out. There is so much more to know, and that takes that willingness to unearth and cultivate and till that soil that it seems like we have planted seed in there maybe the past season, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that that hard soil is going to bring back any harvest again. And so we have to keep going back to that and refining and understanding and getting a feeling for the way that God works and moves. And so our scripture ends with this: faith, hope, and love are the three that remain, right? Everything else has gone away. The knowledge, the prophecy, everything else. But faith, hope, and love, does that anywhere in there say certainty? Faith or trust is that understanding that the other has freedom. Hope is this kind of willing the good future for us. And love is this perfection of keeping going back to tilling that soil over and over again. There's nothing about certainty. And so this gift of the dark wood of uncertainty invites us into a fuller relationship with one another and allows us then to come and recognize that stability comes from trust, and understanding comes from exploration, and identity comes from that understanding that we are complexly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And in all of that, we can say, but I am not alone in this dark wood. I can give my anxiety, my fears, my everything that wells up inside of me that takes away from that gift of life, I can give it to God. I can journey with somebody else. And so as we prepare to make the table for communion ready for us today to share in that gift, that's one of the reasons why you have your little papers, right? Is that we have these anxieties, we have these worries, we have these uncertainties that we cling on to like they are life rafts, but in reality they are anchors. But when you say that this uncertainty can give life, when you say that this uncertainty can allow me to see God more clearly or to know myself more fully, then they start to have some buoyancy to them. And so what we're going to do today as we come up for communion is that this paper is actually some kind of that fancy stuff that dissolves in water, right? You like that? So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you as we come down these center aisles, before you take communion, and this is totally up to you, you can actually, because, you know, we're going to acknowledge your free will and your ability to do these things freely, you can hold on to it if you want. You can walk out here with the thing. You can keep holding on to it. That's another sermon for another day. But as you come up, you can, before you partake of the elements, you can come up, you can place it in one of these two bowls here or in the center one, right? But the reality is that those things that we worry about can just dissolve away because we can give them to God and we can partner with God. And then we can partake more fully of the gift of communion, these simple gifts of bread and cup that God has in store for us. To taste and see that there is something mysterious here, that when we get into that mystery and explore the fact that God might be doing something new in this thing that has been happening for generations and generations, that something wonderful can come out of this gift of the dark wood. So let's pray and prepare our table.